welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you again on a happy, happy Monday, said no one ever.
Yes, it is the return of students to college for me. It's the first day of classes.
Basically, she's in hell, I'm in hell, we're all in hell. It's good. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And if you want to know how fine things are, you can find us at hauntweekly.com. We're also Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly, YouTube channel. Give us likes and subscribes there, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. We appreciate all your social media interactions and lets us know we're not just screaming into the void that we totally are when we do this, because this room might as well be a void of clutter.
Yeah.
And you can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere finer podcasts are distributed.
That's what I need. I need a black hole to store all of this stuff. That's what needs to happen.
All right. Simply create an artificial singularity.
Uh-huh.
And you're done.
Exactly. How hard could it
be? Now, the problem is, how do you get it back out?
I don't know.
Because once you put it in the singularity, all information is actually destroyed in the singularity. I watch a lot of PBS Spacetime, motherfucker. Don't at me about black holes.
No, I know. It'll all get spaghettified.
Anyways, so we've got a podcast for you. We definitely have that. I don't know if it's a good one yet.
We are talking.
We are going to talk for the next 50-ish minutes or so.
Yeah.
That's about all I can promise. But no, we have a talk for you this week that we've been kind of wanting to do for a while in various forms, but we've talked about it a couple of times, but decided finally to pull the trigger on it, even though I thought it was a terrible idea.
Yes, you did.
We're going to talk about creating your own haunt talk for a haunted attraction convention, whether it's HauntCon, Transworld, any of the 8 million ones we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
How you can do your own talk and actually contribute to the haunted attraction community via a talk at a convention.
Yeah.
And yes, you can do it. You listening to this can do it.
And we will tell you how.
I guarantee you, I don't care if you're the scrubbiest scrub to ever scrub a scrub, you can do this.
Yes. But first, it's conference reminders.
Yes,
and
okay.
You are kicking us off.
Yes, I am. And coming up August 23rd through the 25th in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's CreepyCon Halloween and Horror Convention at Jacob's Building. Literally, that's the name of the joint. Don't at me. Features workshop exhibitors and a zombie beauty contest. CreepyConKnoxville.com for more information.
Okay, September 6th through the 8th, it's MaskFest / Horror Hound Film Fest in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Indiana Convention Center, I haven't had this one yet, features mask makers and makeup artists of all types and a film festival.
A film festival.
A film festival.
A film festival. What's a film festival? They festival films.
Well, you should go to maskfest.com and find out.
I probably should. After that, September 28th and 29th in Houston, Texas, it's Scary Dad's Halloween and Party Show, Part 3, Electric Boogaloo. Okay, that part I might have made up.
Yes.
It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel, Houston Galleria. There will be lots of vendors there. Tickets are just $10, people. $10. It's hosted by the Scary Dad Podcast. Learn more at nightmareretreat.com.
Okay, September 28th, Arizona Haunts Haunted Swap Meet in Phoenix, Arizona. It will be at the Metro Center Mall at the Northwest Entrance, hosted by the Arizona Haunters Forum, hauntedswapmeet.com.
I gotta say, they are doing it right this year.
Yes.
Like, the last year when we did these conference reminders, like, it was in some dude's backyard at the intersection of two. That's how things begin.
That's where you expect a garage sale to be, though.
Exactly. You know, you got a point. That's how stuff like this begins, but they are next leveling it
yes.
this year. They're powering up, if you will. They're taking it up. I'm happy about that.
And they're going from...
Never. From what? No, go ahead. I want to hear this.
From Billy Ray to Miley. Because we're in the middle of watching a really stupid riff tracks.
What was the name of the film again?
I don't even know.
Oh my god. It's going to hit me in a minute. I forgot the name of the film. Crystal will look it up and I'm sure she'll tell you.
I will?
Yes, you
will. I'm surprised by
this. You raised the specter. Now you have to tell them what it is.
Oh my god.
It's,
I don't even have my phone, so I can't just text Ellie.
But yeah, we've been watching a riff tracks featuring Billy Ray Cyrus. And,
yes. So that's really all you need to know. Yeah. Unless he has more than one, and that prospect.
That horrifies me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wrapping it up this week, it is the Legendary Haunt Tour in Atlanta, Georgia, November 8th and 9th at the Gwinnett Place Hotel. Not all the tours have been announced, but they will be touring the Netherworld Haunted House because it's in Atlanta and duh.
Yeah.
And also Etrox from Leeds, Alabama. It's on the way there, actually. I think it's along I-20, basically. So what's going on. And there will be others. Legendary Haunt Tour. Watch out for the 2Ts.com for more information. So, yes. That is it for the conference reminders. I got to scroll past all this other stuff, and I'm still trying to find out what film we're watching. Because it's going to hit me like any second. It's going to drive me crazy until I actually do figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't actually see the any of the film process name because I was dealing with something else.
It was a 2000 film. It is Radical Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Radical Jack.
They have not said the name once. Well, the riffers have, but the movie hasn't.
Yeah, Radical Jack. If you get the chance to see it, don't.
Yeah,
don't,
exactly.
Just don't. Yeah. The riff tracks is pretty good. The jokes are good, but
yeah,
just dim. It, like riff tracks, for those who don't know, it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's the same people behind it,
yeah.
But they're doing movies without the actual bots. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So before we begin this, we've got a few housekeeping and other items to discuss.
Right.
First, promised weekly updates about our haunt.
Yeah.
We didn't do shit.
Yeah.
That's really the crux of it.
It is.
The reason is it was my birthday weekend.
Right.
I turned 39 on October. August 30th. I'm thinking about October already.
Yes.
August 13th. There was much celebrating and much to imbibing to go on to do Hauntworks safely. And here's the thing. I feel very, very bad here about the ending of last week's episode. Because Crystal's like, you'll be older. And I'm like, yes, I will be. I'll be a week older. I totally fucking forgot about my own birthday.
Well, I wasn't sure if you wanted it, like, out there or not, so, because we didn't talk about it before we went to record.
Well, it's not that I care about my birthday being out there, it's just I straight up forgot.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I have,
that's because we're so far ahead on the haunt that it feels like it's not August.
It does. It feels September, mid-September-ish, at least.
It does.
And part of it is also that I have weird moments on my birthday. Like, I take my birthday pretty seriously.
Yeah.
But I oftentimes don't think about it, except for in brief spurts on the way up to.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh shit, tomorrow's my birthday. What happened?
Yeah.
It snuck up on me. It happens every year.
Yeah.
I cannot let that happen next year, because it will be 40.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what's going on. So yeah, basically, we haven't done much with the haunt this year. We don't have any updates on the road work. In fact, that's one of the kind of disappointing updates, if we have one.
Yeah.
Is that there's no change in the road work situation.
No.
Literally none. We have nothing now. They haven't paved. They haven't put a curb down. They haven't done shit on the other side in the past week.
They haven't broken up our side yet. So
they have made zero progress. Radical Jack made more progress to being a good movie. We're going to sell some Radical Jack rentals, aren't we, with this?
Probably.
I hope to God not. But yes... You know, Radical Jack made more progress to being a good film than they've made on the road work near our house.
Yeah.
Which just plays right into my press X to doubt mentality.
Yes.
On them getting the whole thing done by the end of September.
Yeah, I still say that they didn't say which year.
You know, that's looking pretty true.
Yep.
All right, we also have some follow-ups on last week's episode, which apparently was a humdinger that some of y'all really liked.
Yeah.
Humdinger.
Had opinions about.
Well, Yeah, apparently we had, it's kind of interesting looking at the comments on Facebook and elsewhere too. Apparently there was two types of people that listened to that episode.
Yeah.
People that like barely know how to boot up a computer by their own admission.
Yeah.
And people with like decades of CAD experience.
Exactly.
Who are like way more qualified to talk about this topic than I am.
Yeah. Exactly.
And a lot of the latter. And yeah, I feel like crap, guys. Thanks. Yes, I admit it. I am a pathetic loser when it comes to CAD.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I honestly, I don't know why I was surprised that there were so many CAD people in the haunted attraction community.
Listen yeah, to this I don't podcast. Know either.
It makes perfect sense when I say it out loud.
Yeah.
But I didn't say it out loud. I said it quiet. Okay, but a couple points. First off, don't do what I did in that episode and say catting.
Uh-huh.
Derek Mühlberger, I think is how you say his name. I'm not sure how to say that loud. Mühlberger? I'm sure he'll tell me how wrong I am later.
Yeah.
I tried. But you know, he talked about how he got a kick out of me saying catting. That is a verbal affect I have.
Yeah.
And usually I don't do it on a podcast. I've been, you know, knocking on wood here, not terrible about it on this podcast, where I verbify nouns.
Yeah.
When we go working in the haunt, I'll say, we're going paneling.
Yeah.
And paneling, by the way,
paneling
has multiple meanings.
Yeah.
And that it could mean we're assembling panels, we're building them, mm-hmm. or we're rearranging panels.
Yeah.
It's any action to do with panels is paneling.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'll say things like demoing and like that too. It's a weird affect I have. I just do it. Don't please. It's using CAD software. It's be smarter than me.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's not a tough task.
That's basically always our advice: is do better than us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stupid. We were silly exhausted that week because we'd actually been out in the haunt for about 6 hours that day, like half the day, in the heat. Building projects, got a lot done.
Yeah.
When we came in to record, we were stupid tired.
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well have been like double drunk. We're usually just single drunk when we do the podcast. We might as well have been double drunk for that.
That's only half true. I'll let you figure out the half.
All right. And beyond that, we got some great ideas for other uses of CAD that we had not explored in the podcast.
Right.
James Munsell actually jumped on and gave us some great ideas. He's also one of those guys that has decades of CAD experience.
Right.
He talked about using CAD to play security cameras, which is fucking brilliant, and I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That's brilliant beyond compare.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it's because putting the security cameras up, while important, is a last minute thing for us. We do it every year. We make sure that we've got good coverage.
Oh, yeah.
But it is one of the last things to get done.
Yeah. Sound, lighting, and lighting comes first.
Yeah.
Sound, security cameras, and other electrics are the last things run.
Yeah. This is, of course, after everything's built and decorated.
Yeah. Basically, right now, we're still in the build phase.
Yeah.
Next comes paint and rough decoration.
Yeah.
Then comes fine decoration.
Right. No, fine decoration waits until after lighting.
Yeah, true. But then you have lighting, which lighting is, for us, a multi-day process oftentimes.
Yeah.
And then you have fine decoration, and then you have security camera, sound design, and light, and any other electrics that need to be run.
Right. And the reason for the fine decoration coming in later is because even though I like to pay a lot of attention to detail in my haunt in our performance there, a lot of people aren't going to notice it.
Yeah.
So unless you're coming through with the Honk Kong crowd, you're probably not going to notice it as an average Joe Schmo.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, because the lighting will often change drastically over the course of the lighting portion, because we might have a vision of how the lighting's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes time to actually put it in, we realize, no, that throws too much shadow here. That causes too much problems there.
Right. We've and got we move a things light around. Leak. We got
and
a
now
block,
we've
got
to put more detail into this area that we didn't think we had to, and we could do less here.
Exactly. Or this light is a little bit dimmer than we thought it was going to be, so any small details aren't going to show up.
Yeah, long story short, we don't want to detail areas no one's going to see.
Exactly.
That's a waste of time and energy.
Yep.
So yeah, now he had some brilliant ideas on how to use CAD in the more advanced parts of haunt design.
Right.
Things I never thought to do because we usually do the CAD pretty early on.
Yeah.
We use it to build.
Right.
Do the rough build and maybe even the decoration part. But after that, the CAD's gone. We've got the haunt built. We're using our eyeballs for things. But no, he's absolutely right. Using it for security software is a great idea. And I want to say I'm stupid jealous that he gets to play with AutoCAD and other like professional CAD software. He's a total jerk, and we don't like him very much because he makes us jealous.
That's not true.
That's not true.
But
he also discussed using it for inspectors. Depending upon your local permit office, you're probably going to need some kind of professionally created CAD, some professionally created blueprints for your haunt.
Yeah.
Most haunts go to an outside contractor for that.
Right.
They bring someone in to do it. If you're good enough yourself and if you're licensed and meet all the qualifications, no reason not to save yourself a few $100.
Yeah, I think that, I'm not positive.
Yeah.
But I think Orleans Parish requires a licensed architect to approve any blueprint plans. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you knew what I meant.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. I need a licensed architect to approve any blueprint for building.
Yes.
And so you're going to need someone of that caliber, and they'd probably also be the person drafting the blueprint, too, at that point.
Right.
That's completely separate from the uses of CAD we were talking about, but it's a good point.
Yeah.
And that if you are good enough, licensed enough, and are in that position, there's no reason not to.
No.
So I don't see why you wouldn't.
Nope.
Still, seems like the episode did well. Happy people got stuff from it. Sad you're not going to get anything from this one.
You're so down on this
idea. I'm burying the episode now, baby. I'm just...
I know.
Digging the hole now to save us time.
Yeah.
But yes, this week's episode comes from an email I got, which basically said that HauntCon has extended the deadline for proposing a talk. Wow, that was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
HauntCon has extended the deadline for proposing a talk. So if you wish to speak at HauntCon, you have until the end of the month to propose your talk.
Yes.
Was that better?
That was better.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you, approving condescending voice from across the room. But yes, we've already submitted two talks ourselves.
Yeah.
I have my usual one, which it's copyright and trademark and haunting. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I've done it multiple times, and I hope it gets picked up again because I think it's important.
Yeah.
And even though it's one that theoretically everyone who has wanted to go to it should have been to it.
Right.
We know they haven't.
And there are always new people
exactly.
entering them.
So I think it's important enough. I hope they pick it up. But we've also submitted one for the two of us.
Right.
That I'm excited about. It's about haunt and scare tactics.
Yeah.
Because this is something we obsess over.
Yes, and we've talked about. And it will be my first talk.
Yeah.
Possibly my first talk. I may have one at work, but that's a very much smaller audience than all.
So I have no idea if this is going to go through. I don't even know if like anybody can like help make it go through.
Well, but if it goes through, it's going to be interesting because it'll be the first talk that you've done with someone.
Anyone at all.
Exactly.
We were talking about this earlier today.
Other than panels. You've been on panels.
I've been on panels.
But those are different.
And I've been on talks where there are multiple participants, but every time it was like, you get 15 minutes, you get 15 minutes, you get 15 minutes.
Actually, the one with Katie Sundstrom was...
But we didn't have a planned talk.
Oh.
That was more of a two-person panel.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have... any talk like this where I'm trying to actually coordinate it with another person.
Yeah.
So if you want to see me fall flat on my face, this is your opportunity.
I think it'd be more likely that I'd fall flat on my face because while I'm pretty vocal here on the podcast, or at least I try to be, in person and in front of a crowd's a different story.
Indeed.
And I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
But still, we may have more talks we submit
right.
as proposals. We have up to two more we've been discussing.
Yeah.
But clearly they want more speakers.
Yeah.
And basically, we wanted to show that there's no hard feelings with HauntCon. We spent some time trashing the Halloween and Costume Association, people that run the Halloween and Party Expo, because they're being a bag of dicks.
Right.
And they can suck on the biggest, fattest bag of dicks I can find, as far as I'm concerned. But we're still cool with HauntCon.
Yeah.
HauntCon, I have no beef with.
And that's only because of
the petition to move Halloween or at least trick-or-treating the last... No, seriously, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Fuck you, fuck the horse you rode in on.
Just in case anybody was confused about what we were talking about.
Yeah, if you missed it, we talked about it in the last news episode, 192, go back.
Yep.
And we talked about it again in 193, and now 194, this is going to be a thing. Basically, fuck the HCA is going to be a new theme of this podcast.
No, that is not going to be the theme.
No, an A theme, not the theme, A theme.
No.
Anyways, so what we wanted to do today is to reach out to the people that may be thinking, I might be interested in giving a talk, but I don't know where to begin.
Right.
So I've spoken now at 6 different haunted attraction conventions.
Yes.
If I counted right.
I have no idea. I didn't see your list.
It's either 5 or 6. Because I've done 4 haunt cons, I think.
Yeah.
I think 4 or 5 haunt cons. I can't remember if it's 4 or 5 now. And I've done Halloween and Haunt Fest.
Right.
So I've done either 5 or 6, and my memory is pretty piss poor right now.
Yep.
So I have a lot of experience there, and I have a lot of experience speaking in general, and that I have I think I've spoken at over 30 conferences.
Oh, at least. Probably more than that.
I'm probably selling myself short there, but...
Yeah, and that's internationally.
Yeah.
Internationally renowned copyright
I've been
expert.
At... Yeah, multiple conferences in England, one in the Netherlands, one in Budapest, one in...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to speak all over.
Yeah.
I need to get back out there and really start pushing that.
Yeah.
So I'd like some more travel now.
Me too.
More free travel.
Me too.
So yeah, basically what I wanted to do is impart some of my experience and our experience also onto others and encourage people who are sitting there twiddling their thumbs thinking, I'd like to give a talk, but I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you get off your ass and actually do it.
Yeah.
This is your couch to 5K version of becoming a speaker at a conference.
Yeah.
That about right?
Exactly.
All right. So the very first thing you need to do is choose a topic. That sounds like a weird place to begin, but trust me, it's the perfect place to begin.
Yeah.
Until you know what you want to speak. Well,
where would you start otherwise?
Trying to amp yourself up and convince yourself, I'm a good person, people like me. No, you save that shit for later. Trust me. No. You pick your topic. Pick something good. Basically, the thing is this. Whenever I talk to people about, hey, you should speak at HauntCon or you should speak at this conference, everyone says, no, I don't have anything to say. Everyone says that.
Yeah.
And everyone is stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone is wrong. Here's the thing. You have a unique experience as a human being has walked this earth for however many years you've been alive. You have accrued experiences that are unique to you.
Yeah.
You can bring those experiences forth to an audience to provide a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So do that.
Yeah.
That's really that easy. Is stop assuming that somehow your experience is less valuable or less important than someone next to you.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
It's equally educational, it's equally important, it's equally useful. Bring that forth, bring it to bear. Wow, I suddenly just like brought on my inspirational speaker moment, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Doggone it, people like me. No, wait. Now, here's the thing. Even if you haven't been in the haunt industry long, or even if your haunt industry experience is limited, like ours is limited to a fairly small home haunt.
Right.
You have experience outside the haunt community, which can be very valuable within it.
Yeah.
For example, my main talk that I do all the time is copyright and trademark for haunters. Mm-hmm. I work as a consultant and expert witness in copyright plagiarism matters. I have a lot of experience in this area. And so it only makes sense to bring that, sort of mesh that together and talk about the haunters because not a lot of haunters have that experience.
Right.
The number of haunters with as much copyright experience as me and IP experience is roughly 1. I met him at at HauntCon a few years back. He was great. He was awesome.
Yeah.
But that's roughly it. I mean,
it is, yeah.
So it's definitely single digits. And it's not me necessarily harping about how great my experience is. I go to a convention about intellectual property.
Yeah.
I'm getting pwned. I'm the noob there.
Right.
But I go to HauntCon where people don't have that experience and that background. I'm the expert.
Exactly.
And that's something you've got to think about with this.
Mm-hmm.
So pick an area that's an overlap with your day job or your other hobbies and haunting, basically.
Yeah.
And then you can bring an experience to this audience that they do not have otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's just it. You got to keep the audience in mind.
You do.
Not everyone is an expert in everything on a convention.
No.
Well, people believe, and imposter syndrome is real. People tend to believe that everyone else knows as much as they do.
Yeah.
Or is smarter than they are.
Or knows more, yeah.
Yeah. We believe that.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth of the matter is, we all have areas in our intellect, in our knowledge, in our experience, which is higher than others.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee you, right now, you listening to this, sit up straight. Don't quit slouching. It's bad for your back. And if you're laying down, just keep laying down.
Yeah.
But you have something that you are the 1% on.
Yeah.
You're in the 99th percentile.
Yeah.
You have something. You have some knowledge you are in that on.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's kind of weird about our industry is because so many of us, because we're small business or free home haunts or charity haunts,
yeah,
we think that everybody knows how to do everything in the haunt.
Yeah.
But if you thought about any other industry, that's not true. You don't expect the CEO or president of something to know what's going on the ground.
Yeah, do you think the CEO of Walmart knows how to hang drywall?
Yeah, exactly. Or how to do a planogram, which is putting up the aisles and stuff. They don't know how to
do
that.
I'm pretty sure if you showed the CEO of Michaels, where you worked for a hot minute there, a planogram, their head would explode.
Yeah, they wouldn't need... Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that they don't even know the term. You know?
A plano what?
Exactly. Like, I didn't know it until I worked in retail for a year.
Yeah.
So
basically, the goal here is this. To find a unique angle that combines your two passions.
Yeah.
Or the two things you're really knowledgeable about. You're knowledgeable about haunting. You're listening to this podcast. I know you are.
Yeah.
So find that other thing you're stupid knowledgeable about and combine it.
Yeah.
You a sound engineer? Sound design and haunting. Boom. Topic writes itself.
Yep.
Go forth. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You work in marketing or advertising? Oh, that's easy. You're marketing and haunting.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bartender? Oh, well, bartending is nothing. No, customer service and haunting. You're not a bartender. You're in customer service.
Yeah. Learn the spend.
Yeah, that's just it. Here's the thing. Every job has skills.
Yeah.
Which you hone and craft as you do it. And every hobby is the same way.
Exactly.
Every hobby, every job, everything you do has skills that you hone that are unique to that skill, but are not necessarily unique to haunting, but might be very useful to haunting.
Right.
Bring that to bear.
Yeah. And this is, you know, especially true for, I think, younger generations who are more tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we have here.
Are you a social media junkie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then do Instagram for haunting or TikTok or the fuck the young people are on these days. I'm old.
Yeah.
I need to go to that talk. That is a talk. That's one of the six talks. One of the talks we need to add at the end.
Yeah.
Of
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, seriously, you can do any of that. Because
yeah.
I definitely know that I am a dinosaur when it comes to technology. Not as dinosaur-y as, you know, some of my coworkers.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you're exaggerating a wee little bit here.
I am exaggerating
a lot of bit, actually. Not a wee little bit. You're exaggerating a lot of bit.
But,
I'll take you to my parents' house. We'll see if you reiterate that statement there.
Yeah, yeah. No, not there. But yeah, I know that there's a lot that I could know more about. And there was a point in time that I was staying up on all of that and, like, really, really invested. And then I just fell off. So,
well, and then, yeah, and some of that is
happens.
Just age.
Yeah.
But basically, if you go back through our past episodes, that's kind of how this works.
Yeah.
We find an outside point, we research that point, we apply it to haunting, boom, we get an episode.
Right, exactly.
If we can come up with 194 episodes, yeah, you can come up with one.
Yeah.
Just fucking no excuses, all right? You're done. We've done 194 of these.
Yeah.
Minimum. So you can do one.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's your haunt superpower? You said that to me when we were talking about this. Find your haunt superpower. What is the thing you can do as good or better than just about anybody else in the haunt community, and how do you bring that to bear?
Exactly.
All right. And now that you've got a rough idea of the direction, you need to focus or broaden the topic.
Yep.
Now here's the thing. Most conventions, including HauntCon, have a 60-minute time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that 60-minute includes time for Q&A. It includes time for people to be shuffling in and out. And plus, time for you not to be a rude dick and hold people after the bell.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy or girl. So, basically, you need to aim to fill 45 minutes of time of you talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to actually impart useful information during that time.
Yes.
If the topic's too broad, you'll never be able to impart useful information.
No.
And like with copyright and trademark, I'm playing a dangerous game. That's really broad.
Yeah, it is.
So I try to focus specifically on the elements that impact haunters.
Right.
I try to really hone that in. But yeah, literally there are multi-semester courses on these topics at law school.
Yeah.
So literally you can talk about it for a year.
Exactly.
I don't do that.
No.
Mercifully. But then again, if it's too narrow, you can't fill the time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I do whenever I'm thinking of a new topic and a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down and I write the bullet points of what the topic should hit. If I want to cover this topic relatively thoroughly, these are the points I need to hit.
Yeah.
These are the things I need to cover. And then I assume each bullet point is going to take between 4 and 6 minutes, an average of 5, but give a little leeway. And understand if a point's really complicated, it might take more time. You'll figure it out pretty quick. Then you allot a few minutes for intro and outro. And bingo, bango, bongo, you know you probably need about 6 to 8 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, it is.
That's somewhere in that ballpark is about perfect. So if you have too many points, focus it down. You have too few points, broaden the topic out. My copyright and trademark talk, which is admittedly a squeeze, even after refocusing,
yeah,
it has 8 points.
Yeah.
You probably want to shoot for 6, I would say 5 or 6, honestly, is about ideal.
Right.
But indeed, every time I give it, it is almost on the nose 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've sat through all of them. It is, almost, you always finish on time.
Yeah, pretty much, I finish close at least.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, if you have too many bullet points and you need to focus it, it's simple. Add a modifier.
Mm-hmm.
Add an adjective. So what? Haunt marketing is too broad of a topic? Well, I guess it would be. It's really broad, isn't it?
It is.
So why don't you say free haunt marketing or guerrilla haunt marketing or easy haunt marketing, things for people to do that don't have a huge marketing budget or a lot of time. Add a modifier.
Yeah.
And then strike the things that don't belong now that you've added that modifier.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll still probably have to go through some basic understanding of the subject.
Right.
But then you can strike the points that don't fit the easy, free, or whatever, and move on.
Yeah.
That focuses the topic. Add an adjective and just strike everything that doesn't belong in it.
Right.
Super easy. Now, if you need to broaden it, you don't have enough bullet points, you remove the modifier. I know, it's like it was predictable, right?
Yeah, it is.
You remove the modifier. Well, and you say there's no modifier to remove, well, then it's a crap topic and you should abandon it immediately and move on to something else.
Yeah, but one of the things about adding that modifier in is that it makes your talk more unique than someone else who might be pitching the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And when you're adding modifiers, by the way, and this is a marketing tip in general, look for the keywords that get people interested. Easy, free, cheap.
Yeah.
Original, unique, trick. The word trick is clickbaity as hell, but it's clickbaity as hell because it works.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Things like that. Look for those punchy adjectives that people pay attention to.
On a budget.
Ooh, yeah. You see, you're getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, look for those terms. Get people excited about it. Modify it toward a way that increases interest, not one that reduces it. Like, that's one of the things. Like, hot marketing might not be a super popular topic at a conference because it sounds dry. But you say free hot marketing or hot marketing on a budget, which we've actually been to, you're going to get some interest.
Exactly.
Just saying. So think about that. But yeah, if you can't remove a modifier, if there's no modifier to remove and you still have too few points, it's a bad topic.
Yeah.
You got to abandon it or rethink it or just like reposition it in the universe.
Yeah.
And how you do it. If you were going to do one about like haunt music and it was too narrow, then maybe expand it to haunt sound design.
Exactly.
And make the music part a portion of it.
Right.
But yeah, if you can't get enough and there's no modifiers to remove, rethink the topic. So my advice there is simply pick the topic, nail it down, outline it, and propose it. So now we're creating the talk.
Yep.
After you've been accepted, obviously, you wait until you're accepted to create it.
Yeah.
Just trust me, it makes your life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to care what you design it in. PowerPoint, Keynote, Google Docs, doesn't matter.
No.
They're all fine. They all get the job done. They're all adequate. It's not important.
Yeah.
Now, I will warn you of one thing with the design side. Many conferences will give you a template.
Yes.
And some conferences will give you the template way late in the design process.
Yeah.
Ooh, a little cough there. Sorry about that.
Oh. Yeah.
They gave me the slides they wanted me to use. Like, functionally after the talk was done, nailed down, and pretty much in my flash drive and everything.
Yeah.
Like, a little late now, guys.
Yeah, but one thing that I will say is do bring it on a flash drive in multiple formats.
Yeah, we're coming to that in a minute.
Okay. I didn't remember that being on here.
All right. Now, here's the key to doing successful slides. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Beyond Bullet Points. It's a book. It's a system. It's a whole fucking self-help guru thing. It's a bit kooky. But it's actually really helpful here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really oversimplify the basic tenets here. In fact, I'm going to actually not just oversimplify, mess up the basic tenets because it's been a while since I've read it.
You're just going to do the TLDR.
Yeah. But basically it's this. Minimize the number of words on the screen. This book, this author idolizes Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs had a rule that said there would never be more than 4 words on a slide in a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Now, that's a bit much for me.
Yeah.
Especially working in copyright in the fields I do that are kind of wordy topics. You can't really do that.
Right.
But the idea is you want the focus to be on the words coming out of your mouth, not the words on the screen. So, fewer words, more visuals. And we've given suggestions in previous episodes about where to get free stock photos and things like that. Focus on making your visuals better. And basically, don't be that asshole who reads everything from the slides.
Please don't do that. There's no reason for me to be at your talk if everything you're going to say is on your slide.
I will shoot you up.
I could just get your slide from somebody.
Yeah. Don't be that person. That is horrible.
Yeah.
Focus on making the slides visually appealing, not on making them like include all the information.
Yeah.
Your slides are not actually there to inform.
No.
As odd as that sounds, they are there to support you informing them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like taking notes in a class.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get all the information to them in printed format, have a handout. HauntCon actually does those.
Yeah.
So you provide a PDF. They will print handouts that you can give to the people in the audience.
Right.
That's much more effective than having all that information in the slide. Basically, the slides are the backup band.
Yeah.
Don't have them play in lead, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's the reminders to you.
Yeah. All right. Now, organize the presentation around the bullet points you drafted previously. And like I said, don't write it out word for word. but focus on the important things you have to say. The way I like to visualize it is basically it's a series of points I want to hit along the course of the talk, but the actual course itself is going to be varied. Yeah. It's not going to be bing, 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 straight line. We're going to take some twists and turns. It's going to take its time. It's going to be an interesting road.
Yeah.
But we know we have to cross these 8 points in the case of the copyright talk.
Yeah.
Got to cross these 8 points, but how we get there is left up to the imagination. So use it as a guide, not a script.
Right.
In fact, don't have a script at all. Once you've got an idea of what you want to say, you've got a rough outline of the slides, the next step is to give the presentation to yourself. Some people say you should do it in front of a mirror. I call bullshit. I find that creepy as hell and can't do it. I literally cannot give my talk in front of a mirror. So I just go to a quiet room and yell at the walls. Basically, it's like a podcast, but not recorded.
And with me not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, no mirror needed, just a quiet room. And there's two reasons to do this. One, you'll see what parts of it are awkward or stilted, or maybe what doesn't flow naturally after what.
Right.
You might find that point A doesn't flow naturally before point B, so you need to rearrange. That happens. But the other is timing. You need to test the timing of your presentation at least 3 times if it's a new talk. That means you stand up, you give the full talk, using your slides and everything, to an empty room 3 times to make sure you end within a couple of minutes of 45 minutes each time.
Right. And if you have any awkwardness or anything like that, it might be good to get a friend or two to give it to too after you do the 3 times.
Yeah. Now, if you've got an established presentation, you only need to give it once or twice.
Yeah.
But for something new you've never done before, 3 times minimum. Test it out. And here's the thing. As you're going through this process, adjust the talk. Don't hesitate to make changes. Shorten it. Lengthen it. Do what you have to do. Add it. And be sure, one of the cheap tricks I found is to add in elements later in the talk that you can just totally skip over if you're pressed for time. But you can add in and expound upon if you've got the time.
That makes a lot of sense.
They don't necessarily they don't feature in the slides.
Right.
So that way no one visually will be cued in that you're supposed to be talking about something else.
Yeah.
But long story short, you have points in there. It's like, oh yeah, we can talk about this for 2 minutes or whatever if we're going fast. But if we're going normal speed, we can just skip them.
Right.
Give yourself that little leeway. It helps out a lot. And basically try to understand that you will be faster on stage. Everyone is. I don't know why, nerves, whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's talk goes a little bit, and even me. Like, I'll give the talk in this room, and I'll be like, shit, it's 48 minutes. I'm running a little long. And then I'll go and I'll give the talk. It's like 44 minutes, which is about perfect.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes you do get, like, super fast. And, yeah.
Yeah. So
it just throws it off.
Just understand you'll probably be a little faster in the talk. Nerves suck. Life moves on.
Exactly. Because you get up there and you panic and you're like, I want to get this
My name is John.
Yes, I want to get this over with as fast as possible so I can go back to being down there.
Yeah. All right. So now we're at the day of the talk. And this is what everyone dreads. Like, I read somewhere that basically, the two greatest fears people have are public speaking and death.
Yeah.
Which means at a funeral, you're better off being in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Exactly.
That's the old joke, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a fear. I'm going to help you get over that as best I can in like 5 minutes because we're really short on time.
And you thought we weren't going to be.
Yeah, I did. So here's the thing. Everyone talks about stage fright.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about stage fright. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm a reckless asshole. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I will say that have helped me. One, assume you will fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, I have to do this to make it go perfect. No, fuck perfect. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. You're not going to be perfect.
No.
No one ever is. Even the most professional to ever give a talk made a mistake.
Yeah.
No one has given a flawless talk. There's never been a flawless 45-minute talk in human history.
Right.
Guarantee you.
No.
And if it was, it was boring as piss.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone messes up. Perfect is the enemy of good. Focus on being good, not perfect. It takes a lot of the pressure off, the weight off. You should feel better now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone screws up. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan. It's a feature, not a bug.
Right.
And to that end, step two, prepare a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Get a joke ready.
Yeah.
Have that, oh, crud, I tripped on my words. Everyone's looking at me. It's awkward. What do I say? Have a joke.
Yes. Alternatively, you can start off by saying, I don't do this often, or this is my first time. I'm a little bit nervous. Please bear with me. You can say that too. I've seen it done and it works well. And it actually works well for me whenever I get on stage to sing. Because I will say, okay, I haven't done this in a little while. Bear with me while I get my bearings. And yeah. it seems to work.
And that's just, even without that, audiences yeah. will bear with you.
Yeah, and that's the other thing to remember, is that the audience is not there to judge everything that you no. say or do.
No.
They think of them as friends, not as judgment people.
Yeah. We have it in our heads a lot of our lives that everyone is watching and judging everything we do.
Yeah.
No one cares about you. That's not meant to be mean. It's a truth. It's a comforting truth. No one actually cares about you.
Yeah. I know.
People care about your information. No one cares about you.
No one cares. No one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have two ways to look at that.
Yeah.
No one will remember your mistakes, only the information you gave.
Right.
I mean, and that's pretty much the truth. Think back to all the talks you've been to at conferences. Do you remember when they stammered, tripped on their words, said funny things, or maybe misspoke or mispronounced something? No, you don't. You remember the information they gave. You remember what was in your notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't lie. If you're sitting there keeping a catalog of every time a speaker misspoke in their head, my God, this podcast must drive you bonkers.
Or it must be complete fascination. Once again, if you're looking for those.
Pure fascination. So, here are some... Okay. Basically, understand you're going to mess up. Don't worry about it. That ship sailed.
Yeah.
Move on. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
All right. Day of the talk tips. A lot of things that I've learned over the years that can help any speaker, new or experienced. First, have your talk on every platform possible. By that, I mean having PDF, PowerPoint, Keynote, anywhere you can be. Having a talk in a PDF file seems extreme.
Yeah.
Last time I was at HauntCon, that's how I gave it.
Yeah, it is.
Because they didn't have Keynote or PowerPoint working.
Right.
And I couldn't just hook up my laptop because they didn't have the connector for my laptop.
Yes, bring your own connectors.
Yeah.
Because.
And that's just it. Have that presentation in as many formats as you can.
Yep.
Have it on a flash drive. Have it in the cloud. Bring your computer with the connectors.
Yep.
Have that presentation at least four different ways available to you.
Exactly.
And have it every format you can imagine and name.
Yep.
Believe me, it will save you. Mm-hmm. Second, scout the room beforehand. This means check out the size of the room, the equipment, the layout, things like that. You just don't want it to be a surprise.
No.
You're not really going to change or do anything.
Yeah.
You just don't want it to be a surprise. And ideally, if you can go to a talk in that room, so much the better.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, meet the AV person if possible. Shake their hand.
Yeah.
Get to know them. Give them a high five. Give them a pat on the back. Tell them they're doing good. Bring them water or a beer. You know,
yeah.
Be their friend.
Yeah.
Trust me, life goes better this way.
Yes. That way, whenever something goes wrong...
And it will.
It inevitably will. You know who to go to.
You know what they look like, and they know you.
Exactly.
But the biggest and the most important thing on the day of, go with the flow.
Yeah.
This is your day. It's like your wedding day, but you have to give a speech, you know, instead of be married. You have to do more than give your vows.
Yeah.
This is your
day. I was about to say, there is a little speech in there.
Tiny little bitty bitty speech. Giving your vows isn't a speech. It's just a lie.
No.
But seriously, go with the flow. It's your day. whatever punches come, roll with it. If you come prepared, it won't matter. Like I said, last time I gave a talk at HauntCon, or was it the time before? I don't really remember which. One of the two, I had to give it in PDF format.
Yeah.
I was down to that.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
I got through it. No one even knew, I think. What that meant I had to do was I had to hit the right key on the keyboard rather than the space bar.
Yeah.
That was the big change.
Yeah.
Go with the flow. Roll with the punches. It's fine. You're going to succeed. And here's the thing. Every obstacle you face, every obstacle you overcome, just makes the story better.
Exactly.
Overcoming obstacles makes the story more engaging. It's going to make it more rewarding. Think about how awesome it's going to be when you talk, they didn't have the proper equipment for me. They didn't have the connector. So I had to get up there with a PDF and I still rocked it.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
So that's our basic tips for being a speaker at a haunted attraction, any convention really, but specifically haunted attraction convention. Now, we'd like to conclude. We got a few minutes left. Not much. But with some topics we'd like to see. So if you're hurting for topics and ideas, we've got a few we'd like to see. Now, that's not to say these topics have never been given. I'm pretty sure many of them have.
Yeah.
And it's not to say they haven't been given at a convention we went to.
Right.
Some might have. That's less likely, but they might have. It's to say we've never been to them. And we would love to go to them.
Yeah.
So if you're hurting for ideas, here's a few from us. You're free to plagiarize. Right?
Exactly.
I'll start us off.
Okay.
Okay, first off, ways to save money on building supplies. Got a little bit of an accidental talk about this on a talk about charity haunting.
Right.
But I would love to see a talk focused on how to save money getting building supplies. I mean, come on, we're broke.
Yeah.
We're homeowners, man. We're poor.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Exactly.
How do we get some plywood and 2x4s on the cheap?
Yeah.
You know, help us out here, man. What can we do? I'd love to see that. I've not heard the talk, and I don't know enough about it to give it here. Number B. Teaching haunt acting quickly. Been to several great talks. Sylvia gave one about haunt actor training and haunt actor feeling out and auditioning.
Right.
Great stuff. Very useful. We, unfortunately, don't have that kind of time.
No.
We basically get like a few hours with these kids.
Yeah.
And got to put them to work straight away.
Yeah, and, you know, lucky for us, we have a great crew that's pretty established, but every year or so...
Have a couple new.
We get a couple of new people. We want tips on how do we get them acclimated...
Up to speed.
Yeah, acclimated quickly. As quickly as possible. Because sometimes we don't even know we're going to have extra people until opening day.
Like last year, we had an actor who was new to us.
Yeah.
And I hope he comes back, because he's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But he had never been...
We didn't know that.
Huh?
But we didn't know that.
We didn't know that. But he was... He'd never even been in a haunted house before.
Right.
So he was playing a very key role because he asked for it. And we didn't have anyone else in mind. The person we had in mind for it wanted something else.
Yeah.
And he had seniority, so he got the choice. So this very key role was still vacant and he wanted it. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
We have this untested dude in this role, right? Yeah. And the very first time we did the test runs for the haunt, he's supposed to hit a table with a rubber knife, and he's hitting the table with a side of the knife, which doesn't produce any thud.
No.
It just means a...
It's like, why are you hitting the side?
With a soft bed.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
But here's the thing. We managed to get him up to speed after a few trial runs, and he ended up being one of the best actors we had in the year. And he actually won our Most Destructive Actor Award.
Yeah.
For literally destroying the fucking tabletop he was not hitting properly in the beginning.
Yeah, after the first night we had to go out and rebuild it with something stronger.
Yeah. We had a table, it was a particle board.
Yeah.
And he destroyed it so bad we had to go out and replace the particle board 2x4.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you break this, I'll be doubly impressed.
Exactly.
He didn't, luckily. But no, I love that idea, of course, helping to bring people up to speed quickly.
Right.
Number C, advanced haunt design / haunt design for small spaces. I kind of threw this together because I think it goes together.
Yeah.
But we've been to a lot of haunt design courses, including one by Leonard Pickle.
Yeah.
They're great, but they were all aimed at very, very early beginners. people that were just getting into the industry.
Right.
We've been doing this for 15 years. What advanced stuff can you teach us, and what can you teach us to help us work with a very limited space?
Yeah.
We have only about 525 square feet. We need all the help we can get with the limited space issue.
Yeah.
How do we make this work? I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that we've got the best layout we can.
I think we maximized
but
it.
We're not positive.
Yeah.
So.
We're not positive about anything.
Yeah.
Number D. Crowd control for haunts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's been a ton of amazing talks. And this is across all the haunt cons, Halloween Haunt, everything where we've been. At least half a dozen great talks about queue line acting.
Yeah.
Those are awesome, super useful. I've enjoyed every single one of them. But I want something for specifically crowd control. How do you funnel people? How do you get people in a place? How do you keep people, you know, not rioting in line? How do you make people, you know, obedient in crowd?
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that talk.
No.
I've not even seen it offered. It may have been, but I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not claiming to be the expert here. All right. Number E. Improving donations.
Mm-hmm.
We're a free home haunt. We accept donations, but that's all we can do.
Yeah.
We have a donation box. It's a kick-ass donation box
that
I fucking love.
Yeah.
And it's stupid secure.
Yes, it is.
And all this stuff. But how do we encourage people to donate?
Yeah.
How do we pitch it? We've added Venmo and PayPal.
Right.
And that helped a lot.
It did. Signs all over the place so that
and
people
can just do
that.
With QR codes and stuff. We've done that. But how do we further that? How do we take it to the next level?
Right.
Like, I know this year I've already determined that we're adding Zelle.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing that. I've heard that other tips are like post how many hours of work went into it, how much money you spent on it.
No.
I don't know if I agree with that or not. We don't have it out there. But, I mean, if somebody's actually tried it and can show me numbers that,
it
increased this much after we did this.
I might consider it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got the numbers. We know how much time and money we spent roughly.
Yeah, exactly.
Time is more rough than money. We can figure the money out pretty easily.
Yeah.
That's just simply Googling Home Depot in our simple account.
Yeah.
That's an easy one to figure out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I've never seen anything targeted at improving donations.
Yeah.
I've seen tons of great marketing talks, how to increase ticket prices, how to add value.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone that doesn't charge a ticket price, I would love to see something about increasing donations.
Yeah.
And finally, ways to support the community.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., we want to be good members of the community.
Exactly.
What ways can we do outreach?
Exactly. How can we outreach? How can we get them more involved? How do we make it so that our neighbors like us?
Not only our neighbors, but our city.
Yeah.
Like, I know House of Shock used to do some pretty awesome things, like the Mardi Gras floats and things like that. And they did
and
some pretty cool
football games and stuff.
They did some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Back when they were a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awkward. But yeah, I would love some suggestions on that for ways, especially like smaller haunts with smaller budgets, can get involved.
Yeah.
And one more, since you just added in, how do we improve roles and improve haunting broadly, I think, for women and people of color?
Yeah, exactly.
Right now,
I would love to see a talk on that.
And we've done a whole Women in Haunting series, so we've heard about some of the issues and some of the...
Yeah, and they actually had a panel for Women in Haunting last year.
At HauntCon.
At HauntCon.
Which was interesting. But I think we do also have to address the people of color issue.
Yeah.
Go to Hong Kong. We're a pretty white bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
There's no nice way to put it.
There's
we white.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
We white.
At least in... Yeah. Yeah.
We're white.
But we really need to make changes there.
Yeah, we need and ways to improve that.
Yeah.
Because we've struggled recruiting actors of color. We've struggled with that ourselves. We only have one actor who comes back every year who's a POC. I would love to see a more, especially since we're in fucking New Orleans.
I know.
60% of our city is black.
Yeah.
And only 10% of our haunt crew at most is black.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that change.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I think that's all we have. Mm-hmm. I think we actually got a pretty decent episode, at least in terms of time.
You can tell us what you thought of the content.
Yeah, what content might have been shit, but we filled an hour. Fuck you. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us this past hour. I hope it was useful. Hope you learned something. Maybe you're inspired to go submit a talk for HauntCon or your local haunted attraction convention. Your expertise matters. Your experience matters.
Yes.
Put it out there.
Yes.
People can learn stuff from you.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. I don't care how where you think you are in the haunt community. People can learn from you.
Yeah.
You have something of value in your experience. Mm-hmm. Get it out there. That's basically the whole point.
Yeah.
And if you want to get what we have from our experience,
or tell us how much
awkward segue, wee! How much
we
suck.
I set it up and you just like knocked it to different directions.
But yes, you can follow us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweek on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel where all the previous episodes are available. You also find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Shopify.
No.
No, not Shopify. TikTok.
No.
No. Okay. The places you find finer podcasts, you'll find us.
Yes.
But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was episode 194, a train wreck of a podcast. Episode 194 of Haunt Weekly, talking about Haunt Talks. We will see you guys next time.